Hello everyone, my name is Oluwafemi Oluwadurotimi Popola. I am the author of a book called I Am Existence, which also happens to be the name of this podcast. So this is the I Am Existence podcast. In this episode, we will be discussing the fourth chapter of the book called The Custodian. Now, God has all authority. All. His name is Yod-Heh-Vav-Heh, which means existence or I exist. Nothing exists outside of God. And like any complete authoritarian owner of a realm, he can decide to do everything by himself. But the Bible lets us know that God loves to appoint and designate responsibilities to some of his creation. The Bible lets us know that Angel Michael, for instance, Archangel Michael, in the book of Daniel, the Bible lets us understand that he is the one who is responsible for the nation of Israel, defending the nation of Israel. And in any good organization, you have your CEO, you have your CFO, you have upper level managers, you have managers who intermediate managers, and then you have workers under them. And everybody has their role and has their position. Now, when God began to create, one of the key characteristics of God is light. And he decided he was going to create an entity that will be a steward of that light. God's light is an expression of his pleasure. And this entity was the one who was going to be managing or distributing or administering, that's the word, administering the dispersion of that light, that pleasure. In the book of Ezekiel, the Bible talks about the anointed cherub that covers. He was anointed. You cannot do anything in the service of God without being anointed for it. Lucifer was anointed as the steward, the custodian of God's light. It was almost like having a really bright light, and then you have a glass casing around that light that, based on the shape of the glass and the contours on the glass, determines the way the light is reflected or refracted to show different colors or patterns or different things all over creation in whatever form, fashion, or manner. Now, at some point, this entity called Lucifer, who is the anointed cherub that covers, began to have ideas of how his own level of importance. And eventually, God had to remove this entity from his exalted position. But instead of getting rid of this entity, God just gave him a different assignment. And that assignment was to be the custodian of his displeasure, or the custodian of darkness. And hence, Lucifer became Satan. Now, like I said, it is not uncommon for a top-level manager or the owner of an organization to give responsibility to different creatures. Satan is not the creator of darkness. He is just the embodiment of it. He is just the administrator of it. He had no role in the experience of humanity until humanity opened themselves up to that experience. It was not that the serpent came and put darkness over Adam and Eve. It was he showed them a door to open up their reality or their experience to darkness and to displeasure, knowing that he is the administrator of that displeasure. So it was basically like saying, you live in a house and in a big grand house, and then the security guard of the house across the street that's kind of dingy comes and then tells you, come, you know, just come to my house and have a few drinks, knowing that once you go inside that house, he has complete authority over you. And that's essentially what happened. So many people have the idea that God is light and Satan is darkness, and that is absolutely incorrect. Satan has absolutely nothing outside of God's reality. He is just a manager. The light of God is an expression of God, and darkness also is another expression of God. However, God never created any of his creation to experience his displeasure. If you read the book of Revelations, it says, "Thou hast created all things, and for your pleasure they were created." Now, if I say I'm doing something for my pleasure, it essentially means that I'm a sentient being that can be pleased and displeased. There is a very interesting scripture in the Bible where it talks about how when many people know this story, and David sent out his armies to war one time, and then he stayed back in his house, and then he was roaming around. He went to the rooftop, and then he saw a beautiful woman who happened to be the wife of another man. The Bible says that David looked at her, and then he sent for her. He called her. He had sexual affiliations with her, and then he sent her home. And then she sent back to David and told him that she was pregnant. So David found a way to get her husband back and tried to get the husband to overlay his activities so that when the woman gives birth, you know, she can hide the baby under, oh, well, you came around and you also, this baby is obviously. But this was a man who was at war, had been at war for like the last several months. If his wife got pregnant, obviously, you know, he wasn't responsible for that. But the husband refused to touch his wife because he was so loyal. All his friends and his colleagues were at the battlefront. He wasn't going to come to the house and come and be spending time with his wife. So he refused to go home to see his wife. And when David tried like three times, he even got the man drunk, and the man refused to go home to see his wife. And it looked like all hell was about to break loose, because now the woman is going to give birth to the baby. And apparently they didn't have abortions back in those days. Now the woman was going to give birth to the baby, and it was going to be very obvious that the husband was not responsible. A little bit of investigation will find out. Maybe the baby comes out and he has David's eyes or David's nose. And obviously his house is directly across the palace and all that. Everybody can easily put to that. And besides, there were people in the palace that knew these things. So if the story was going to come out. So David just simply wrote a letter and told his general to send the poor husband to the front of the battle, to the place where he knew the man was going to get killed. And at the end of this entire story, there's a very small line at the end of that chapter where the Bible says that, "And the thing that David did displeased the Lord." God can be pleased and he can be displeased. When God was making his creation, he made everything to please him. That is the reason why we only understand God to be light, because that was the only aspect of God that we were created to experience. However, there is another side of him that we were never intended to experience. One other curious example of this is this. God created Michael, and Michael is like a fierce warrior, an archangel with rippling muscles all over his body, and he's just a commander and ready to fight and do all of these things with the blazing sword and all of these things, and he has all his regimen and all of these things. And curiously, God created all things for his pleasure. So why was there an angel of war? Michael was there, and there was no war, there was nothing to fight against until sometime in eternity when the devil had a bad idea. And then all of a sudden his purpose came to light. Up until that time, there was no reason for any kind of anybody to have any kind of war, because nothing exists outside of God, and everything that existed was created for his pleasure. And then I always make this joke that that was probably the reason why the devil even had the gall to do what he did, because, you know, he saw God on the throne as this very playful, happy guy. Everybody likes him. He's always smiling and everything. Like, I can take this man. I mean, what's there? And so he made his move, and then God revealed himself as a man of war, and Satan was like, oh, darn. I messed up there. I shouldn't have done that. So, there's the custodian of light and the custodian who is now the custodian of darkness. It is not that there is an opposite and one entity is on the other side of the other entity and both of them are looking in the, and they are having a tug of war to see who is going to fall down on one side. No, he is simply an administrator of God's displeasure. He is still within the bounds and restricted to the limitations of God's instructions, God's displeasure, and God's authority. He cannot do anything. He has no resources of his own. The only resource he has is God's displeasure. And somebody gave me this illustration one time of Satan's actions, essentially. The only thing that Satan can do is to get you to offend God and then push you before God in your offended state. And then God's displeasure does the rest. Satan himself doesn't really have the power to do anything because he's an administrator, and the only resource he has is that displeasure. So the summary of this chapter is, many people who have had this idea that God is on one side, Satan is on one side, and there's a tug of war going on and all of that stuff. No, Satan is still within the employ of God. It's just that he went from being in the penthouse suite and the office by the window with that overlooks the city to essentially washing the toilets. And that is the only resource that he has now, and that's the only thing he can do. So all he can do now is find a way to mess up those toilets and blame it on you. And so this is still all ties back into God being all in all. He exists, nothing exists outside of him. So that will be all for today on today's episode. If you're interested in learning a little bit more, you can purchase the book on Amazon. You can just do an Amazon search for I Am Existence by Oluwafemi Oluwadurotimi Popola.